Thank you, Paul Casey. Thank you, Sue. I don't like to stand too close to a microphone. Can everybody hear me?
No, not close to the mic.
I give in to your sensibilities.
Further back, so adjust it.
I've just been given permission to stand further back, so we can't say a naughty word about what you're to do with your sensibilities. Here I am. I was here in 2011, and that was a Zen poem, the silence. And I thought I would be
okay.
That's what the machine does when it's been goosed. I hope it's happy. I'll be reading and keeping to my half hour. I'll be reading from the book Shy White Tiger that came out from Salmon since I was here last. But I thought I would just read a poem that I wrote a couple of days ago, which would qualify for work in progress. And there may be some sadness in some of my poems, but anything that really is sad is my own business and doesn't get into a published poem. If somebody comes up to me after a poem and says, "I'm sorry for your trouble," then it was a lousy poem. So this one came to me, and it's a sonnet almost, and I was inspired by Joe Woods, a very fine poet, who wrote a series of sonnets called the Ballyowen Sonnet, and I thought if Joe can take a crack at it, because essentially he drives a lorry through the sonnet form and then bats it up to make sure that it's crushed. So I thought I would try. So here it is, and it's a couple of days old. Rainbow Girl. There she is. There she was. Brilliant. If you didn't know her, and you didn't, this won't mean a thing. If you did, she was the Rainbow Girl. Because there is a rainbow, there isn't a rainbow. That is the métier of rainbows. So, here she was. There she goes. No idea where this poem is going. I'm smashed. When that happens, color goes every which way. Well, anyway, it's over. Don't think it hasn't been charming. Smashed. Can't reach the 14th line. Neither could she. She'll be back. Jesus. Rainbows. So now, Jesse Lendenny, the publisher of this book, told me that I shouldn't read anything from it without reading the title poem first. So I'll do that. And this is based simply on the fact that I received from a cousin of mine a postcard that had a picture of a white Siberian tiger that was entitled Shy White Tiger, and everybody in this room practically writes, so you know how that happens. It arrives months later, and here it is. So, Shy White Tiger, it's shorty. Shy white tiger, the postcard said. Siberian, there he is, staring out, staring calm. Someone stole his color, but not his dignity. Someone stole his color, but not his beauty. Someone stole his color and they can have it. What are you doing with yours, my friend? When I shed blood, it's to eat. When I walk, the grace of it makes God gape. Each of us has something removed before arriving. Then more. Then everything. So. Now, I'll just go into the book a little bit and then read some in the beginning and some at the end. And maybe I'll start also with something in the middle. Because a very fine poet today mentioned a hare that's not this, of which these are antiques, but rather H-A-R-E. And so, in the honor of that anonymous poet, I shall read this poem, which is a confidence. A man sat next to me on a park bench and started talking, and it was winter and I couldn't stop him. They studied, he said, every photograph ever taken of the earth and every photograph ever taken ever since before Daguerre. They put them, he said, all into a computer. They ran, he said, a program written by that genius they keep locked up inside a mountain in the Caucasus, he said. And do you know what they found? Do you know what they found? They found that the earth looks exactly like. They matched it, a blob of light as reflected at night in a hare's eye. But they're keeping it a secret because no one would believe it. But then, he laughed, I believe it. And on the facing page of the double, he was waiting for me on the stairs, my double, or he was in a hurry and in an absent moment passed me. Sometimes when I talk, more often when I listen, I am he, and so remember imperfectly what was said, but he remembers. £3 for these, I asked the girl. What are you asking? She said, you just bought the same from me an hour ago. Sometimes, it is true, I am out of focus, but that is not he. He is on his own, my double. When you found me and stayed, when our lives went hand in hand by I know not what slippage, when we were and seemed to have always been even then, I sometimes thought, she thinks I am he. I never asked you if you knew I had a double, which proves to me that I am not a moral person. When I saw him once while shaving, I said to myself, she knows. It is he she first saw. It is he she loves. If she's a moral person, she'll stick it out to the end, which you did. Are £3 plus £3, £6 or £3? You never were good at maths, thank God. I have to stop now, crying. Now, from the beginning, we'll continue. Where does the soul go when it goes? Where does the soul go when it goes? To an hotel? To the flat white light of an Edward Hopper painting? Where does the soul go when it goes? For a walk? For a cry? I am not talking about death. Death is a big bird, red, green, Brazilian, a splashy thing. Waiting, funeral, ceremonies, heaven, maybe, the soul is or isn't in that. Where does the soul go when it goes? When one is driving, reading but not reading, listening but not listening, the vast vestibule of inattention. Anyone can enter, and many do when the motel is vacant, but who is responsible for damages? Where is the soul most of the time when there is no conversation, only empty contraption? When we were at breakfast an hour ago, as hours go, where were you? Florida, maybe? This poem simply arrived, and here it is. Between the spaces of the song sang. The beautiful time, the spring, was gone. Winter, like a rumor of death, had gone south for the winter. There were no people in the song, or seals splashing in the song, or sounds in the song of peppercorns cracking while crushed, or the a dictionary makes when whoever writes it, or Georgian mansions, or barracks in the song, or fancy dress balls. Only a child holding a balloon string and a sky like a ribbon waving. There was only the violet ribbon of child and balloon and sky. Brief, she was too young to know there was no song in the song, so she sang it. Now toward the end. A rather different mood. This was because a friend of mine, as a birthday present, took me on a tour of the Cathedral of Basilica of Christ the King in Mullingar, and the guide kept saying for this and that there are no reliable dates, and so this poem came. And I wouldn't have, it was in the bin, but a friend picked it up and said that you should keep it, so I kept it. I have certain luck that way with certain friends. There are no reliable dates. It's a rather short poem. There are no reliable dates to show when life began in this location. There are no reliable dates to show when the treaty, undated, was drawn up or was put into effect or was subsequently declared null and void, if declared null and void, or if still valid, stopped being honored by both parties, if stopped being honored by both parties. There are no reliable dates to show when the ruins over there to the right were first discovered embedded in stratum 8A, nor to show if stratum 8A predates the ruins, or if the ruins predate stratum 8A. There are no reliable dates to show when you and I, if you and I, not you or I, might have died, if indeed the and ever died, if indeed and ever died. There are no reliable dates. I heart Turgenev. I love Turgenev, and this poem came, and I think I'll end Shy White Tiger with this to keep to my time. No, I'll add one more, which is more Tolstoy. So two, because Halperin is Russian, the other half is Irish, and my poems are 100% Japanese. So they. This is rather long for one of mine. It's called Passing, Passing. I opened up a Turgenev novel and I read the first page, reread it, and the whole thing fell onto a page, and here it is for what it's worth. Two students lie on their backs on a riverbank, talking, their caps pushed back, their arms over their eyes to protect their eyes from the sun, the river flowing, the clouds unseen, passing, passing. I will do this and I will do that, one says. I will do this and I will do that, the other says. Each talks as if to himself, that intimate, that unformed, that easy, because friends forever, their books in satchels on the grass, the river flowing, the summer nearly over, the afternoon, any afternoon, as if there will be infinite afternoons, as if the sun were a third friend, as if there were no difference between day and drowsiness, as if there were no towns or obligations. Later, much later, dying and very old, they had taken different paths, of course. One of them, the one who didn't die at 45, sees himself on the riverbank again. He and his friend talking, planning, letting the day run through their fingers, because why should the future ever come? That was perfection, the dying man thinks, that the future was a story we could sketch and discard, sketch and discard, our voices murmuring, our books in our satchels, our caps pushed back, all the ropes loosed and not our concern, really. Maths is not perfection. Perfection is not perfection. Perfection is what music points to, the next note, not there yet, and so not our concern yet, but surely something wonderful wherever it was going, and we were there wherever it was going, wherever it was going. And now to break the mood and to end the book, my mother's birthday. So all your little Makushas out there, get ready. And all your little Mamushkas, get ready for this one. It's a short. My mother's birthday, by the way, it's completely factual. My mother's birthday, May 4th. Every year she looks forward to it. Every year she's wary of it. The garden snake at a birthday party. Birthdays, never know which way they'll go. Not your sweet old mum. Dress designer, high living, martinis and boyfriends all the way. Rumbas, flaming desserts, poured into cabs at 4 a.m., having captured, neat, the driver's life story. Anyway, happy birthday, cakes, candles, prezzies, a few drinks, a few laughs, a prayer for cheer. Happy birthday, Jeannie, 108 today. Thank you very much, I'd rather not. So she didn't. Dead as a doornail. At 84, I'm going out to celebrate Fellini's Roma and a long walk home. How many more minutes? No, no, I know, but I can't do much quicker.
10?
10? Okay, 10 is fine. I go with an egg timer for this. So here's a poem from a book, The Sensuous Astonishment of Things. It's the last a book published. I have a publisher in Belfast, Dennis Grieg, and the reason that these are short books is I would never compete against Salmon Books, which are full collections. Jesse Landeni fished me out of a pond when my manuscripts were being returned on sterilized tongs by everybody else. So anyway, I have these, and they don't compete. They cross-pollinate. The people on Jesse's list are on each of these lists. Now, in a different mood, well, actually, I'll start with a shorty and then go with two longs. Empedoclean. It's a love poem. It's quite short. When is air water, water fire, fire earth, earth void, void air? When is hearing taste, taste sight, sight touch, touch smell, smell sense? When you were conceived, when you died, when we met, if there's a difference. Now, someone was mentioning earlier in the day, icon, and this is the longest poem. I'll be reading 2 pages and a few lines. And it was inspired by many, many different things. And it was published in the shop, which took many of my poems. And in a way, this reading is dedicated to the shop and to Hilary and John Wakeman. Three angels in an icon. A shift to the center and everything takes on the perspective of fear of falling. Roofs sharply tilted, faces angular because that's what shock does. Or as circular as the bottom of a well, colors, eggs, and mineral grains, spasms of love and creation, guilt and excrement taken into account. Originality counts for nothing because of the am of God. So one picks up from the bin the discarded tools of creation, proportion, absence, breath, simplicity, mercy. Mercy, because that's what's going to be needed, as it is still needed for the artist. Three angels are seated at a table. The makers have fasted and prayed, have followed lines which are those of the first cave paintings, lines which connect the stars to each other. So stars are only pins for the lines which are those of one's palm, lines which are those on the faces of the very old or of the very young, trashed. A universe of flat, of Jerusalem, of Mahalula, Syria, of Novgorod, of Talak, Patrick Pye, of my bedroom closet where call it clothing hangs, keyhole windows, knobby trees caked with Christ's blood, and Kundry's insomnia, something on wood, a substance which cracks, something in tempera, an edible substance which is poison and which is honey, plateless of blood and of ichor, floating things which are nailed with rusty nails upon trees, upon horses, upon the oval mother, upon a chuckle, maybe hers, all held by lines which will not converge in infinity because who gives two raps about infinity? A gnosi because all icons are mirrors. Three angels at a table, a small gathering, a conversation which is bread, a piece of broken wood a Simon of Cyrene, because bystanders are also responsible. Now a poem dedicated in a different mood to MacDara Woods. To me, there are poets, and then there is MacDara Woods somewhere. So it's a short one. Would this be the last? Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it's short. This evening for MacDara Woods. Quite a shorty. I was walking through streets so gently and wondered why I was walking. I am using words, but there are no words for what I am using them for. Songs are going through my mind, and they are I when they are going through my mind, and that's a relief. Words, streets, songs, who would have believed the love of them? They come up close to you as if they were interested in you, and their gentleness in this is exquisite. As if ceases to be if one touches it. So don't touch it. Now, someone mentioned a dear animal in the house, and that triggered this poem. That my choice of this poem, it's called La Salute Venice, except that I just screwed up and it wasn't that poem, but never mind. I'll go on to another poem. A short one, Love at First Sight. Quite short. She was in a white dress and a pink sash. She was in a book. You were in I don't know what, with a poncho thrown over it. You were smoking a Nat Sherman, I think. You were talking. I was gone. Another one? All right. A different mood entirely.
Two
more, all right. I have on my desk a card that one can buy all over Ireland, which is a photograph of spectacles and a window, and there's a little poem written on it that's an excerpt of Jonathan Swift's birthday poem to Stella. It's in a lot of houses in Ireland. And one day this poem came. Swift to Stella on her birthday. And it looks physically like this on the page. Most of my poems look skinny, but this one is in the spirit of Swift, I hope. I'll know soon enough. Swift to Stella on her birthday. Another season in hell and in heaven has passed for you, whoever a woman grows more each day into heaven's girl. Wisdom like kindness, eternally young. God is ever young, ever, despite painters who have paint where their brains should be. It is the dragon of revelation, that old serpent who is eternally old. So we must take care, my dear, that he do us little harm for this little while. Others paw for my attention and my love. I name no names now or ever. If I were not the excrement you know I think I am, I would say we were twin souls. I know what you have said on this subject, but I cannot bear to be that happy, undeserved. What I can say and shall is that this dear day, your birthday, is also mine. Blessings on you on this day. You write that you have begun wearing spectacles for reading and close work. May you continue to forgive and love him whom, from the beginning, you have seen far too closely. One more, and it's a little sad, but that's the way the thing works. No. That's social fascism. Avenue de Tourville, this is the title poem of this book. Avenue de Tourville is next to my flat in Paris. Are you quite home yet? Can't really picture it. Words fall like snow onto the stars in so-called space. Books are a help, and music. Everything is memory, everything is company. 1,000 years ago was in my flat, and you not astonished at that, and I not astonished at that. In Japan, my friend Kunio watches the moon rise. There is no noise, only sound for that. Who is astonished, the moon or Kunio? He brought me white roses for you once when you were not here to receive them. We sat at an outdoor cafe on the Avenue de Tourville. He looked at my face, but you are she now, and wept openly. He could not pronounce you normally, nor she, nor now. One word no better than the other, one word no different from the other, as the onlookers looked on at the dignified man who never cried in public, crying. You, she, now, he, I, moon, serviette, glory, dog, all the same weight, falling like snow on everything, as the waiter used to looking and not looking, brought us our coffee, tears not his business at the moment. Sometimes words well arranged, Lady Murasaki, Alexander Pope, because of the shock of the arrangement, make one see the centerless astonishment of things. Thank you.